Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Bears Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus. Let me give you some background on Dick. He is from Chicago, Illinois, and played his college ball at home at the University of Illinois, where he played both center and linebacker from 1962 to 1964. He was an all-Big Ten player. He helped the Illini to an 8-1-1 record and a win in the Rose Bowl over Washington in 1964. He was a unanimous choice as first-team All-American in 1963 as a center, and named Most Valuable Player in the Big Ten. He was named UPI's Lineman of the Year in 1964, and that year he was named Player of the Year by the American Football Coaches Association and the Sporting News, finished sixth in the Heisman balloting in 1963 and third in 1964, both unheard of at the time as a lineman or a linebacker. He was a first-round draft pick by the Chicago Bears in 1965, but also was picked in the second round by the Denver Broncos in the AFL, and we all know chose to play for the Bears. But, oh, by the way, took less money than what the Broncos were offering him to go play for his hometown team and for George Halas. Played in the NFL from 1965 to 1973, was an 8-time Pro Bowler, named to the NFL's 75th anniversary team and the team of the decades for both the 1960s and 1970s. He was elected to the College Football and Pro Football Hall of Fames, and we are extremely honored that he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Dick, Chris, and Bob. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi, Dick.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. Going fantastic. How you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. Just helping along.
So, Dick, when I was doing the research back when you were drafted by the Bears, obviously, like I said in your intro, you're picked by the Bears and the Broncos, and the Bears used a pick that they got to pick you in a previous trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I was curious, and I'm from Pittsburgh, a huge Steeler fan. Did you ever wonder what might have been had you decided either A, to take the money and go play for Denver, or if the Steelers had actually not made that trade and you ended up being a Pittsburgh Steeler?
No, not really. I don't think it would have happened that way, even if Pittsburgh had the choice at that time. And, you know, Denver wasn't really even close signing. We were really, actually, I was waiting for the Jets to make a move, but they were doing the deal with Joe Namath, so ended up going with the Bears, and there's all kinds of stories about that. But I mean, that draft during that year, it was all kind of wired, because, you know, you had both leagues fighting for different players. So, I think there was a little collusion going on and saying, look, okay, we got the fourth round. We need, a quarterback. So you guys, three ahead of us, let us get, whoever and whatever. That was actually going on back then. I mean, the night before the draft, my attorney was talking to the Bears, and they had three first rounders, but not number one on total draft. They were separated, third, fourth, sixth, something like that. So, it was kind of a weird thing. Wish I would have known what I know now, but hindsight is always, better, I guess. But I'm happy and glad I ended up with the Bears, because it was I was able to play all my football. I mean, all my career, high school, college, and pro in the city, and I could have my family watch and my friends, and so it really worked out well.
To your point, Dick, playing your college ball there at the University of Illinois, I got to imagine, as such a talented young player, you had to have a lot of schools trying to recruit you. Was there ever a consideration to play anywhere else?
Yes. Well, back then, my high school, I was going to get out in January, and it was a vocational school, and I wanted to go right away to some university in the spring, and I would get an extra session. I would get the spring practice my freshman year. And then back then they had freshman teams. You know, you weren't able to play on the varsity. So I would have my freshman season, and then I would have my sophomore spring practice. So I would have, you know, that extra practice before going into my sophomore year. And I wanted to make the decision that, you know, fast, and it was going to be either Notre Dame or Illinois, and it ended up being Illinois.
Bob, questions for Dick?
It's an honor to speak with you, Dick, and I'm totally impressed by the blue-collar background you had. I was reading about it, Dick. I mean, your father worked as in a railroad company, your mom in a laundry. You were the youngest of eight kids. So on the surface, that would seem like a very, very tough upbringing. I mean, not tough in certain aspects, but I guess my question is, did that contribute to your focus on the field and how great a football player you became?
I think it just, no, we really didn't know how poor we were, you know, back then. And we lived on a dead-end street to a park. And so all my brothers, everybody were, you know, always in the park playing, you know, whatever season it was. It was baseball season, football season, skating season, you know, playing hockey. And so it was just a mere walk to the end of the block. And, you know, after whatever jobs we had, we'd go play. And I fell in love with the game from the get-go. I was 8 or 9 years old, and I had a track, my mind that I was just, this is what I wanted to do, and I'm going to do everything, that's necessary to achieve this goal. And I went to my high school. It was, totally across the city. It was a vocational school, so there was no, you know, school district. You could come from any part of the city. So it was a long haul to go over there, but me and my buddy went there because we felt that they had the best high school coach on the south side. So that's how that worked out. And then the same thing when I went to Illinois. It was really the Notre Dame question. The final question was whether or not I was going to, you know, if I had any questions. And I said, yes, I didn't see any of the marriage facilities. And they kind of laughed that off and said, you don't get married here. And I said, okay. And so the very next night, with Bill Taylor, the line coach from Illinois, I asked him that question, and he says, hey, we got brand new apartments for married people. And so I said, okay. And so as it turned out, Bill Taylor became my daughter's godfather. So it was a close-knit group. You know, the coaches were young at Illinois, and, you know, they had a losing program. Before I got there, it was like 15 straight that they had lost, but they did a great job recruiting Chicago, and when we were sophomores and juniors, we were in the Rose Bowl 2 years. So, and it was, you know, I think it was a great move. You know, a lot of kids, and we find this out. You know, we have the Butkus Award, and we have also, you know, it's for the college player, but we also extended it to high school and the pros. And in high school, you know, it's a big deal for these players to go to, you know, like an Alabama or LSU or somewhere, you know, where they're winning a little bit. And instead of saying going to a school that maybe doesn't have a real winning record yet, why wouldn't you want to try to be the guy that turns a program around? I don't know. It's just a different way of thinking, I think, with these kids nowadays. They all want to be on TV, and you know, practically, you know, everybody gets to be on TV. But I would you know, go after guys that you know, want to turn a program around, not necessarily join a program that's already established.
And Dick, you played for the three coaches in Chicago, of course, most notably George Halas, and he goes down in history as one of the, I guess you could say, founding fathers of the game, especially in Chicago or whatever. As far as him as a coach, Dick, X's and O's wise, was that his strength? I mean, what do you remember him as far as being his greatness as a coach?
Well, it was his ability to get players to play for him. And, you know, when I was there in 1965, they were already breaking down offenses by computer. And, you know, everybody talks about computers today. Well, in 65, the Bears had some semblance of a computer. I mean, these big, long sheets that, you know, keep folding up and coming out. And they would enter a lot of the data that they would get from watching the games and for game plans. And we could watch, or we could see on these printouts, you know, first and 10, okay, second and long, second and short, third and long, third and short, what these teams like to do, what plays they like to run. So he was innovative in a sense, but he was loyal to a problem because, I think our average, near the end of my career or in maybe around in the '70s, I mean, the average age of the coaches had to be like 65 or 70 years old. He was loyal to a fault. And I think the biggest mistake, he made was not, naming, George Allen is one of the coaches. George Allen was there when I was a rookie, and I a lot of my success was because of him, because he was such a great coach, very thorough, and then he went on to, you know, the Rams and did well there, and he tried to trade for me, but the Bears would never make the trade, and you know, then he had success at Washington. So I think if there was one mistake he made was that, he let George Allen go. And, I think that was, the only mistake he made.
Dickie, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, you came into the league the same year with, Gale Sayers. You guys were both taken in the first round in 65. What was it like coming into the league with Sayers and then trying to tackle him when you were in practice?
Well, you know, I, again, back then, you know, it wasn't as much TV as, or exposure. So when we were in New York at the Look All-American, gathering, I saw films, of course, on the Kodak All-American team and all that. So they had films and I was watching this guy running around with, you know, with the high tops on and everything. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And next thing you know, he comes to the Bears. And so I played with him in the college all-star game. And, I tell you, I was very fortunate to have a guy like that to play against or practice against because he was, you know, he was unbelievable. And back then, unlike today, I mean, we used to scrimmage a lot. Like every day we would scrimmage, and our training camp was 6 to 8 weeks long and 6 weeks of, or six exhibition games. So I got to see him, and we would, you know, we would go full boat. And, so I attribute a lot of my style of tackling and how to pursue these guys that have the shiftiness as, like Gale had. I mean, he could be running on a sweep and going flat out and stop on a dime and go the other way. I mean, much like Barry Sanders. And so that really helped me defensively. And, plus he was a good guy, very quiet. And, you know, we got along. We still are great friends still this day. So he was one of the best for sure.
And Dick, Bears Packers is one of the great rivalries in all of sports, really. And I was curious to get your memories of playing against the Packers. Was there mutual respect between the teams, or was it mutual hatred?
Oh, I think it was. I thought it was respect for both of them, and I think it all stemmed because of Lombardi and Halas. You know, those were two of the bigger names in the game at that time, and. When I was a sophomore, my brother played, at Illinois, for a whistle stop, and he, you know, he was a buddy of Nitschke, Ray Nitschke. So I met Ray when I was a sophomore in high school at University of Illinois. So I kind of followed Ray and, all the way up until we started playing against each other. So, you know, it's, you know, it's the closeness, I think, of the, you know, in miles from each other, and the Lombardi legend and the Halas legend, both were pretty close to, well, the old man, I think, started the pro football. So there was a lot, you know, a lot of brewing, and we'd play them three times a year back then, two in the regular season and one in an exhibition every year. So we would play them a lot, and so it was always something that you would get up for, and the fans really, really enjoyed it. That's our big deal. Now everybody's making fun of me, because, my nephew, Luke Butkus, has been hired as an assistant line coach of all places at Green Bay. So he right. said he's going to send me a Packers shirt, and I don't know what car I'm going to wash with it, but I'm not going to tell him.
So, that's great. Bob, one more for Dick before we let him go.
Yeah, Dick, there's so many more things we could talk about on the field, but I was telling some people we were going to talk to you today. My television co-host said he'll never forget your success with and the funniness of the whole light beer commercials. You know, and having studied advertising in college, that had to be one of the greatest advertising campaigns in history. It's just so well done. And I watched a few today with Bubba Smith. Was that as fun doing as it seemed on TV?
Well, that's, yes, because that's the way it came across. I mean, those guys, the guys, I don't know, I think Miller made the biggest mistake is when they stopped doing that. Because when you stop and think mm-hmm. about it, you would have had all these retired athletes now. I mean, from back when we were doing it to all the way up to this, I don't think people would have gotten tired of it. I don't know, maybe they would have, but. Some of the commercials after they stopped doing them, boy, I tell you what, I didn't care for them at all. But yes, we had a lot of fun, and you know, a lot of guys would always jag around with Dangerfield, and you know, because he didn't have to come early; he would just come when he had to go. Come on, and he was. I mean, he had. I'm assuming he must have had a one-liner for everybody, and he was just waiting for someone to say something, and then he'd give you a one-liner back at you or whatever. But, yeah, we used to have fun doing those things, and, got to be a big deal, and, you know, the Christmas special where they brought in everybody, it was fun, and it was good seeing guys and meeting guys from various sports. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, Dick, before we let you go, let our listeners know, what are you doing now?
Well, I'm just kind of, I've got the Butkus Foundation, which I have a facility out here in Southern California where we do heart screenings of people, first responders, former military people. We do former athletes. And, it was 11 years ago or whatever, I had a five-way bypass, and it was discovered by going and doing an EBCT scan, and saved my life, actually. So I'm on a, you know, like I say on our trophy, it's payback time. So I'm trying to get things rolling and get some funding so we can go in every NFL city and do these scans. You know, heart disease is the leading killer of men and women, and this test takes 5 minutes, and it could save some people's lives, and I know we have already, so we'll see with that. And then I'm lending some support for FAIR, there's a new negotiations coming up with the league and the Players Association, next year, I believe it is. And, you know, the pre-93 players retirement, is very, not very much. And, you know, a lot of guys are kind of hurting, and, we're trying to see if we can increase their pensions to where it is today for modern players. You know, today's players, they stop they don't think about, you know, these guys in the past who started this game and who played the game, and, you know, there was no TV money, was nothing. And now all of a sudden, you know, there's free agency, and now, you know, guys are signing for, you know, $20-30 million. These poor guys that started before all that and got the game to be popular, they're guys are banged up, whatever they, you know, we just want fairness in the pension. And, you know, we have no representation for those guys. So, you know, we got to talk to the Players Association and see if they'll, you know, side with us and help us and get the owners and them to pitch in a little bit, because there's maybe 4,000 ex-players that like 140 of them die off every year. So we're not talking that much for that long. So I think it's only right, because our pension is, you know, the worst of all major sports. Another than that, what? I enjoy my grandkids. That's it.
Great for you.
Good for you. Well, Dick, yeah. Thank you so much for being generous with your time and joining us tonight. We really enjoyed having you as part of the show. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime, because there's a million questions and I'm sure a million more stories that you've got, and we'd love to hear them all.
You got it. Thank you.
Take care, Dick.
Okay. Take care.
That is Bears Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus. What an amazing guy, Bob. And you talk about him coming into the league and his time at Illinois and the opportunity to play in the AFL and then obviously all the great games that he was a part of. And to be honest with you, Bob, I was surprised at the level that he was injured. I started reading about his knee, and then he's got a lot of other things that have gone on, with his legs and stuff like that. I mean, we hear the stories all the time about the NFL alumni players that are suffering, and God bless Dick for what he's doing to try to get those guys the pensions that they deserve. But he's another guy like Gale Sayers that his career was probably cut a lot shorter than it needed to be. What a great player he was while he was there.
Sure, Chris. Again, that's football royalty right there. You get goosebumps hearing some of the stories. But, you know, we hope we can get him on again in the near future, because we've barely scratched the surface. The whole Brian song and Brian Piccolo, more about Sayers. We can talk about Soldier Field. But that's an honor when you get to talk to any Hall of Famer. But that's one of the greatest players in history right there.